Welcome back to Confronting the Serpent, the podcast where we discuss cults, false teachers, and bad religion by revealing their lies with scriptures and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. I'm Eric here with Pastor Aaron. How are you today, Aaron?
Doing all right. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty cool. Good. We got another hitting at home conversation today with a cult called...
They're called a couple things. Cinderland Eco Village.
The Rainbow Village.
Yes, the Rainbow Village. And they are most known for their very erratic doomsday prophet leader whose name is, or who goes by Jesus with a Z. So J-E-Z-U-S.
Interesting choice of name, choice of spelling as well.
Yeah.
This cult's about 30 to 60 members, something like that. They kind of spread out. They kind of go other places sometimes and go make money, I guess, right?
Yes. So there is a constant kind of rotation of people that are there on the island, living there and doing life in that community. Then they go to the mainland, namely to go to California to harvest marijuana, to earn money and things like that. And so as we're going to see, not only does his plagiarism of Christianity horribly show itself in his really bad take on the name of Jesus, but he also plagiarizes a lot more. So from everyone, from the likes of God to Disney.
So their main member type is kind of this lost, formerly maybe like religious background, seeking oneness with nature kind of deal person. That's what it kind of seemed like to me.
Yeah, this is very much a cult centered around nature and the worship of nature in one sense and the worship of a man in another. And that shows in a lot of the ways they pray. And most of the way we've got to see them is through a documentary called Believer that aired a few years ago. Reza Aslan did a documentary on this cult. But that wasn't how I first heard about them. That came from actually seeing a Facebook profile pop up on my People You May Know. And I'm going through there. And I see a friend of mine's face, and he has a name that's not his under that. It's something, something lion. I don't know. I'm like, oh, okay, let me see where he's at. He's in Hawaii, and he travels a lot. He was always kind of an itinerant guy. And then I seen this, and I saw where he was at, and I looked it up. And then I saw the documentary that had already been done. And so, and found out, man, so here's somebody who I know. Here's somebody who I've hung out with. Here's someone who's been a part of Freedom House. Here's someone who, like, I've walked through in hardship and trouble, and he's heard the gospel. He's been loved, and he would come and go and just travel and things like that. But then when I saw him here, I'm like, man, that's like, it was heartbreaking. And so this cult appeals a lot to people like him who have a, like you said, a religious background, have a desire for spiritual experiences, but look at commandments and God's prescriptions for life as more dogmatic and legalistic and wants an experience with a higher power apart from that. And so this kind of thing where it's people that look like him, people that believe like him, and people that all of these things. And I could see where that would draw somebody in, because that's what Satan does. Just follow me in all these things I'll give to you. Like, you don't have to take up your cross and die. You don't have to crucify the flesh. Indulge your flesh. Indulge your pleasures. Indulge all your desires. Just fall and worship me, and I'll give it all to you. Where the call of discipleship to Christ is, we get treasure, we get life, we get hope, we get forgiveness of sins. But Jesus then says, take up your cross and follow me. To die to everything else except him. And that in him we find our life. We're not looking for life outside in other things. And so I think these kind of cults really appeal to that desire to have spiritual experiences while not having to surrender to a Christ who is king.
A lot of times when we talk about spiritual experiences, what I end up seeing is people playing music and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same kind of thing that I see with people who are using different kind of psychedelic drugs a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They're just listening to music and dancing, and then they call it a spiritual experience. It's not a spiritual experience. Don't lie to yourself. You're not experiencing anything except drug abuse and music. That's it. That's all you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about like people want to experience that, I feel like they'll do anything to create that experience, whatever they feel like it may or may not be. Mm-hmm. And they just throw it out there. They're like, oh yeah, I'm spiritual. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not being spiritual at all. You're just dancing and you're just on drugs. That's it. I don't know if the people, I don't think this cult does drugs, but it's, you can see the same correlation.
Yeah, that in the documentary, when they were showing the drum circle there, kind of like when they had that kind of fellowship festival kind of thing there at the end. Yeah, there was definitely some using happening, and there was nudity and hedonistic kind of view of just like sex and drugs and all these things, and that pursuit of pleasure in things outside of Christ, which actually is the opposite of that, which will destroy more and bring life.
So this Jesus with a Z, are we going to keep saying that? I think no. We should. We're going to have to. What's his real name?
Eugene.
Let's call him Eugene. Let's Eugene, so, yeah. A.K.A. Jesus with a Z.
Because we'll Jesus with Eugene. A Z sounds so just like...
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid. They even call him that. Mm-hmm. They call him that. Like, they were calling him that in the documentary. But anyways, he's a prophet. He makes prophecies, and he's putting things out there that... Based on the documentary, California is going to break off into the sea, which, you know, geologists have long said that's not mm-hmm. going to happen. That's not even possible to happen. And then supposedly it's going to make some huge tidal wave. I was going to, like, wipe out the world or something.
Yes.
I feel like the best place to be then would be, like, I don't know, Colorado. You know, so when California breaks off, you can just head up to the mountains and wait for that tidal wave to come back around the earth, I guess. I don't know why they decided to be in Hawaii, which is clearly going to get wiped out. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to me. But they're building an ark.
Yes, they are. They are building an ark.
And so they've got a plan. Thank goodness.
Yes.
So they've got a plan. They're building an ark. And now they fully believe in him. That's what they say.
Yes.
They say they fully believe in him. Not so much like they're like, I hope he's wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't hope, like, I'm not sitting here like, you know, I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm never hoping Christ is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, he's always, you know, he's got to be right. If not, as Paul says, we've pretty much just thrown everything away.
Yeah, that's part of being God, is that, you know, you're perfect. And so while Eugene here doesn't claim to be God, he does claim to be a prophet. He seems to be pretty slick for a cult leader, because he's learned, I think, from some of the cults in the past.
Like, don't set dates?
Yes, he has not set a date. He has not set a date, and that's part of, I think, continuing the narrative of that the end is coming and the end is imminent, but it's not like this day. And also, he has picked something that's not just far-fetched. It's not a UFO cult. This isn't Heaven's Gate, where it's like, we got to get our track suits and our Nikes because of the UFO behind the comet. This is something that's like a narrative that a lot of people really like, that, you know, they really get behind, that global warming, climate change, we got to stop this. This is going to bring about the end of the world. That's a pretty accepted narrative for a lot of people. And it's also accepted by a lot of people who he's trying to appeal to, those who have an agnostic kind of de-church kind of view, but find themselves kind of straying from what they would consider more conservative, traditional kind of worldviews and values. And so he's trying to find that niche in between the two, while also offering this worldly utopia.
Yeah, I think the term is like catastrophism, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a belief that basically that some kind of event, unknown what the event is going to be, is going to cause widespread destruction on the earth, and we're going to go into another extinction period, is the mentality, I believe. I don't know much about it, so I don't want to say anything for sure, but like we're talking about, he's chosen something that many people can get behind.
Yeah.
Now, the size of this cult is only 30 to 60, so it's not like he's got hundreds and hundreds of people doing something.
Yeah, and so this is a different kind of cult in the sense that they're not people that, like, where they can't not talk. Nobody's telling them who they can and can't talk to. As far as what we can see, what we know right now, obviously they come and go and things like that. They go to the mainland. They leave, things like that. So it's not that kind of controlling in that sense. Now, it very much is controlling, like, manipulative as far as theology and those kind of things. But it's not so much where, like, they can't speak to other people. a big part of it is actually he wants to form this apostles. He says that a lot, like, I want to build up my apostles to spread my message of his prophecies, and this is where to come, and this is where to be, and this is where we're going to get rescued from. So while there may only be 30, 60 people there that are part of the cult that would say, like, yes, I'm a follower of, you know, Eugene here, he's the prophet, there are many, many, many people who come there who will be there, like, for a short time and then leave, have those religious experiences. So while on the cult itself, the compound itself, it may only be that, it's possible he's got more followers that are growing throughout, like, you know, country or even the world, maybe.
So would this fall under the scriptures here in Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24? Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Does this fall under that category?
I would say yes, because he is claiming to be a prophet. He has claimed to receive direct revelation from God. He claims that this annihilation of the earth is going to happen, and that he was instructed to build this ark and start this community. And so, yeah, that would fall under that range of false prophecy, claiming to be someone who speaks on behalf of God who isn't. Now, he doesn't claim to be Jesus, the actual Jesus. He claims to be Jesus with a Z, again, super pretentious. And so he's distinguishing himself from the historical Jesus while still calling himself Jesus. I mean, so this is intentional. And so while there's no direct language that where this is supposed to be a Christian community or a biblically based kind of fellowship, the fact that the language they use is ark, apostle, Jesus, those kind of things, that's very intentional. And so I think that's also like an intentional thing to kind of ease that transition from the de-churched, those with church hurt, those that are just rebelling against their parents' churches and things like that, to going to where he is now. I think it's intentionally meant to like kind of soothe the conscience a little bit more.
And so he would definitely fall under this false prophet? Or yes. So he's not a false Christ? He's not like anything like that?
No, I wouldn't call him like a false Christ. He's not like somebody who claims to be like the reincarnation of Jesus, which there are several of those right now, which is weird. Like, how can there be several reincarnations of one person? Which, plot twist, there can't be a reincarnation of Jesus because Jesus isn't dead. Jesus rose from the dead. He's the triumphant Savior. He would not be reincarnated, and because reincarnation isn't a thing either. So in the documentary, the interviewer, he has to go through this insane trial to see that he's like worthy or serious about meeting this false prophet Eugene. So he has to sit in this cave, almost risk drowning. He doesn't go through the whole night, but then he gets to go meet this guy in this kind of, I don't know, what would you call it? Like this structure that he says is the most holy place in Cinderland to him.
It looked like somewhere you would do yoga. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, kind of like studio-esque kind of
structure. Yeah, maybe even somewhere you would do like you would start off learning like jujitsu or something, or karate, something like that. Like,
yeah, just kind of this, you know, almost cabin-esque like place that's wide open where you can see the going on around. And
oversized gazebo.
Yes, with wall clear, like, you know, see-through walls and stuff. And so he was there. There was this very like new agey looking art. And he's there, you know, classic guru, new age prophet pose. There's like a rug. He's like sitting like Indian style. And they're like drinking water straight out of a coca melon or coca melon.
Well, he had a mug.
There's no such thing as a coca melon. That's a show. And I have two girls. One's a 4-year-old and the other's like 8 months. So that coca melon was a mental slip there. Every parent listening gets it. So it was some kind of other melon or coconut.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But he had a mug.
Yes, he did. He poured it straight from the thing to the mug.
Yeah, very hippie-ish.
Yes,
I don't know. That's what my wife said anyway.
It was very crunchy granola. He starts talking about all these things, and then, man, the dude just starts like, acting really erratic, and he almost reminds you of Charles Manson in several ways. In some ways, not almost, he does. The dude literally looks like Charles Manson. And so, where's Charles Manson from? Cincinnati. So this cult, by proxy, connected to Cincinnati, as every cult is.
It's a stretch.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll stretch it, but we'll find a way. Every cult ties to Cincinnati. And so, and then just like his speech pattern, and like the journalist here brings that up too, just the way he speaks and just gets real erratic, and just he starts spinning around and he starts like jumping and acting like real, like almost like he's having like a meth-induced psychosis or things like that.
And maybe he is.
Yeah, and it could be. So he says they're talking about 2 hours, then that happens. So I'm thinking something in that tea over time starts kicking in. I know I can't say for sure, but that's what it looked like. So he said his father is the son. So this isn't us taking him out of context. This isn't like the documentary, like they're watching him. He says, like, you can watch it. He says his father is the son. Now, I'm not sure if it's S-U-N is the son, like he's some kind of like Dragon Ball Z-esque superpowered like solar being, or if he's saying Jesus, S-O-N, is his father. Either way, you're way, way off.
Either way, he's not.
Yes, yes. No. Neither of those set things are true. And so he starts making this claim. And then he said the goddess Pele is his mother.
Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah, so who is Pele?
So Pele is this Hawaiian goddess, very similar to what you see in Moana. And if I could sum up this cult, it would be Moanaism. And so this cult essentially is made up of 4 elements, I think, from pop culture. Moana, Woodstock, Lost, and Evan Almighty. If you take those 4 things, combine them together, you have the Rainbow Village.
In Hawaii.
Yes, yes, yes. So
it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cults are like, you know, if you take a... like the Heaven's Gate documentary, that was, or podcast documentary, that was said really well, that essentially Heaven's Gate was just the late great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey mixed with Chariots of the Gods, which was like 2 of the biggest books in that era. And so that they birthed from that. And so essentially Pele is a lot like Tafiti is in Moana, this island goddess who is being worshipped, and this whole false gospel that they believe partly is that it's tied to this man and his prophecies and what God has apparently told him or shared with him. But then it's also this, is that if we can just get back to creation, if we can just find our unity and rhythms and vibrations with the earth, then just like when Maui and Moana could put the heart of Tafiti back in there.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
I never seen Moana.
Again, 2 small girls. I have seen it more times than I, man. And you're welcome that I can reference that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Taking one for the team.
Yes, there, yes. You know. You're also not picking up on the you're welcome references, which is also like you have been spared so much. It's not a bad movie.
I don't know.
But someday maybe you'll see it and you'll remember that. Oh, that's why Aaron kept saying it. You're welcome. So yeah, they can just get the heart. It's like back there, then all the destruction and all the death and all the depravity that came from when the heart was removed from the because of the greed and the ambition of this demigod. And so there's this same thing, this kind of mentality there was like nature can heal us. If we can restore Mother Earth, she can heal us. And the reality is that creation cannot hear us, creation cannot heal us. Creation can do nothing except what it was created for, and that is to bring glory and honor to God.
Yeah, Mother Nature doesn't exist.
Yes, no.
Mother Nature is not a thing.
Yeah, Earth is not like a mindful, sentient being. Earth is a creation that God formed, created, he sustains, and it exists for his glory, pleasure. And one day, the irony is that this false prophet is right in the sense that the Earth as we know it is going to be restored. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but the means of escape isn't him, his plywood and like, you know, plastic barrels. Like the means of escape is the real Jesus, who is the eternal Son of God, who was born of a virgin, fully God, fully man, takes the place of his people on the cross, raises from the dead, and reigns today triumphant King of Kings. He is the only means of escape. And so there is a lot of just New Age spiritualism mentioned in this cult as well. You hear mentioned the Great Spirit that dwells and lives in the island. You hear about, one man talks about, there's a lot of spirits and ghosts in the land, like lost human souls. So there is just so much, while they so plagiarize and borrow a lot from Christianity, there's also a whole lot of just kind of mystic, spiritualistic synchronism going on too, where like the beliefs that like humans can be entrapped in the land, like that's crazy. Like, you know, it's appointed each man wants to die and then the judgment. There is no great spirit dwelling the creation. There is God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling his people and God omnipresent.
And so they believe that you can die and like be a spirit running around on the earth. You know, I recall them talking about like, was the ancestors or the ancients? Was it ancestors or ancients?
Doesn't matter. I think it went back and forth. It's the same concept.
Yeah, the ridiculous concept that they were going to talk to him in the cave. And I guess that's what kind of where this comes from is this idea that they're like, are they roaming the earth? Or they're like just like in the earth? Like, whatever it is, doesn't matter. I actually talked to a guy once that we were at Barnes and Noble, and we were talking about scriptures and whatnot, and he was into a lot of like the kind of the occult stuff, triangles, all that kind of stuff. I was showing him, I was like, you know, this is a book right here that you should read. And I can't remember what the book was, but you know, it was just not up his alley. He was like, no, he's like, I don't read books like that. I don't read books like that. I read books about like these ones right here, you know, this is, you know, the knowledge of the ancients, this, that, and the other. And I was like, well, you know, the ancients were idiots. And he's like, you just called the ancients idiots. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I did. And he was like super offended, you know. It's like, oh, I'm not accepting your ideology of the ancients being all knowledgeable and wisdom and all that. And so therefore you're offended. I mean, if you told me that God's an idiot, I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't be offended. Like, I could care less what you say about him. He's the one you got to answer to.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of where you can really break down the difference. Like, you know, I guarantee you, if you told one of these guys, like, hey, those ancients or ancestors or whatever it is, that's a bunch of bull malarkey. That's going to upset them, man. It's going to upset them, you know. But I guess that set aside, though, I mean, I do want to jump into something else here. He talks about, you know, he calls himself Jesus, and I do believe they asked him if he believed in Jesus Christ, the Reza. They asked him if he believed in Jesus Christ before he got to meet Eugene.
Yes.
So what are they? Are they Christians? What's the deal here?
I think they were asking him, because they say a lot, I believe in Jesus, but they're meaning their Jesus, Eugene. They ask him if he believed in Jesus the Christ, which he says yes, which is ironic because later we find out, and this is the journalist, that he's Muslim. Like,
but don't Muslims believe that Jesus lived? And I mean, that's in the Quran. I mean, even, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, so he can say he believes in Jesus. I mean, and we can just go right back to the scriptures and we can talk about where, you know, even the demons believe and they shudder. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's probably this case.
Yeah. And that's what I would have landed there had it not been, had they asked him, do you believe in Jesus Christ? So to say, for a Muslim to say they believe that Jesus is the Christ, because...
I don't think he was saying that, though.
Yeah.
I think he probably thinks Christ is Jesus' last name.
Yeah. Because I know in Islam, they believe, they'll believe Jesus is a prophet. They believe that even that he was born of a virgin. They actually believe his first miracle was Mary walking with baby Jesus. And obviously, she's not married, all these things. They're about to stone her. And that baby Jesus, weeks old, raises up and starts speaking to them. Like, hey, don't kill my moms, things like that.
Oh.
Which is like not the case. So they believe Jesus was a prophet sent by their God, but they don't believe he was the Christ. They don't even believe that Jesus died on the cross. Islam believes that there was a big switcheroo, which with Jesus and Judas. And so Judas is who died on the cross.
Is this in the Quran or is
Okay. Yeah, and so Jesus got taken up into heaven. So if you can take away the cross, you take away all the gospel, right?
Right, right.
So of course they would want so that, and they also believe that Jesus at the end, when he'll return with Muhammad, and he's gonna say that, like, hey, I never said that I'm the Christ, and they, you know.
Yeah. Well, so. And I don't think Reza was saying that he believed, like, in Jesus Christ being the Savior.
Yeah.
I think he was just saying that he believed he existed.
Yeah, like, there's one person, yeah.
So, and that's probably as well where this cult lands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they just believe he existed.
Yeah.
Not that he's a Savior.
This is an extreme case of looking at Jesus merely as an example. Like, Jesus is an example.
So, do we know for sure they definitely don't believe that he's the Messiah and that they believe that he's, for like you said, an example?
I'm not sure where they land on the deity of Jesus or the authority of Jesus. Obviously, they don't believe in Scripture, in God's call to how to live. We see that from just the naked drum circles and things like that, you know. I mean, even like the Corinthian church had a lot of mess, we know, but we just see them like that just being a very worldly, the goal is just seeking pleasure.
And there's nothing wrong with drum circles.
No, not in and of themselves.
Not in and of themselves. Yeah. It's how it's being done, what's being communicated and portrayed in this.
Yeah.
Like, if Freedom House had a drum circle, it would be something totally different in that we would do it to praise, to worship Christ.
Oh, I would love for us to have, like, during warm days and stuff like that, just be at Jefferson Park and we just, people playing music and we're just out there. I would love that. But it's these kind of pagan, worshipful, spiritualistic, earth-centered, like, drum circles like this.
They're like worshiping, like, a feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it seems like anyways. They're worshiping, like, a feeling or something. I've never been a part of one and I don't plan on being a part of one, so forgive me for not understanding, but I don't wish to.
Yeah.
Not in that sense anyways. So I do want to jump back again though. The Ark. Mm-hmm. This Ark they're building. They show it. Well, yeah. I guess they're doing iterations. I guess the final Ark is going to be built with the homes that they have there.
Yeah.
That's really weird. It makes me think of like a Transformers kind of deal.
I thought of that too.
Did you? Okay.
I thought of that too. Like, so this cult is like resting on like their own version of Omnicron or something like that.
Right, yeah. Like, they're literally, they sleep on and live in and are having community in what is going to be their boat, their ark. Now, the problem I have with this is Genesis 9. Mm-hmm. The world's supposed to be destroyed by water here. That's what Eugene says.
Yeah.
And so there's this whole Noahic covenant thing. Is that null and void? Is that gone? Is there any reason for us to believe that the world could be destroyed by water again?
Well, God gave us the promise, the covenant, and he gave that by the rainbow. It was a sign of the covenant that he gave to Noah. He'll never destroy the earth again with water. Now, he does renew it with fire later, but so no, this isn't going to. Now, does that mean there could never be massive tsunamis and there be places destroyed by water? Obviously, that can happen. We see that all the time, and like with hurricanes and stuff like that. So that's never to say that, like, God doesn't use those kind of elements.
He was very specific. He said the world.
Yeah.
He didn't say the coastline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so he just said everything. That doesn't mean, like, you know, if he hits Alabama with a hurricane, that's like, oh, you know, you lied, you know.
Right.
But so that's because the message that he is really proclaiming is, I am your Savior. Come rescue me from the destruction to come. And that destruction to come is man-made climate change. There's nothing about forgiveness for sin. There's nothing
anything
about
to do with climate change. Let's be real, because he said California is going to fall off.
Yeah.
Is climate change causing earthquakes now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so.
Like, and my point of bringing that up is, doesn't it just sound like he's full of it?
Yeah, it sounds like, and it's something, though, that I think a lot of people hear enough that they think it could happen. And
right,
and they see enough of this that, like, it's just catastrophic enough to be, like, just scary and overwhelming. But it's also, like, just possible enough to maybe I should do something about it, you know? And so he's kind of laying
through this.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, hey, this plan, so we're going to go here. So we're going to use this and we're going to float to this place. And then like, well, that kind of sounds kind of doable. Hey, well, like, so this many people, I mean, that's realistic, you know? Like, so he's not saying that, like, you know, he's going to turn into some big kaiju and he's going to show that he's really the God of the creator of all things. He's saying, like, man, I think God gave me a vision and a dream. I'm a prophet. Let's build this. In the meantime, let's harvest a bunch of weed. Let's just have rampant, like, you know, promiscuity, fornication. Let's get back to nature. Let's live for ourselves. So it's eat, drink, and be happy, for tomorrow we die. But in reality, that's not the case. That our lives matter for today. And
all right, so let's talk about Wes. Your friend, he's come to Freedom House before. He did a lot of traveling, you were saying at the beginning here, and now he's a member of this. Mm-hmm. So what is it that we need to say about leaving this cult? That, 'cause it's a strange one, because they're allowed to, you know, leave, go to the mainland. They tell other people about it. They try to recruit other people. This Eugene guy does not seem violent, doesn't seem like he's holding people against their will. He let cameras into their little 3 acres there where they all live, explained everything he's doing there. I don't think he held much back. Surely he did, but probably not anything of significance. So what is the call here to get out of here?
The call to get out of this place is that, man, you are placing your hope upon something that cannot sustain it. That there is a promise of future glory. There is a promise of future rest. And there is a promise of future redemption, of creation, of relationship, of the way we interact with everything around us. And what this false prophet with this place is promising is that we can have that now. That here, come to this utopia. Come to Hawaii. Come live in this tropic setting. Leave behind the rat race of the 9-to-5, the commercialism, the consumerism. Come leave behind the dogmatic church hurt that you've had before. And come have genuine relationship, genuine worship, genuine mission, genuine community. The promise that they're giving is something they can never keep, though. That's the same thing every other community apart from the church offers. That's the same lie that Satan offers in so many other ways. That come be here, come be a part of this, come achieve this, and then your soul will know joy. And then we get there, and our hearts are still broken. Our sin is still weighty. Our depression is still prevalent. And even more so, because then it's like, well, the more I'm devoted to this man, or the more I work hard, or the more I empty myself out, or the more I smoke, or the more I sleep with this person, or the more I just give myself to the mission of this ark, or the more I just do this, the more. And you're constantly chasing it. Whereas in Christ, man, we're not chasing. We already have. We have the fullness of God's love in Christ. We have the fullness of joy within us in the Holy Spirit. We have promises that are greater than circumstance. We have joy in Christ that's greater than the tropics, that's greater than the ocean, that's greater than free sex, that's greater than just a life of drugs, that's greater than just mere hedonism. We have a life of reconciliation to God, the treasure of the gospel, that we are his and he is ours. The Spirit dwells within us. And yes, we work now, but we work for that future hope that is to come. That death, destruction, poverty, disease, natural disasters, all forms of calamity and war are going to be crushed and done away with forever. And we'll have an eternal place with God on earth forever. That is so much greater than what any man can build. They boasted, and like, look at what we built from the ground. This was just molten rock. This looked like a parking lot. Now is this self-sustaining botanist haven of just like, hey, this, like, these plants are supporting each other and these things are doing this. And it's just this great system. You know what? But its builders were man, and it's going to fall. But we have a hope, a rest. We have a promise. of a new heaven and a new earth who are, is going to be made by God himself, that he's going to dwell with us, not some false prophet that can't keep the promise. He said, I got to supply for my people. I got to feed my people. I got to do this. And he's like stressed about it. The good news is the actual Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he provides for all of his people and has never been stressed one moment for anything. See, our Jesus never fails. Our Jesus is never weak. Our Jesus will never die. Our Jesus is never erratic, emotional. Our Jesus is the Jesus to which every other self-proclaimed prophet is going to bow to and say, you are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. And so, why would we call someone to leave that place, that cult, that system, and go to wherever they can, is because you're trading eternal salvation for temporal joy. And even that temporal joy isn't enough to satisfy your soul. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he gives peace, freedom, and treasure that just no mere experience could ever begin to compare to.
There's a statement I want to make here. You know, when I'm looking at photos and video and stuff of the people who are members of this cult, this Rainbow Village, what is really attracts them to, you know, that experience, what's really attracting them is this experience. They have a leader who's charismatic. They have fun times, you know, out in nature, and they're dancing and having fun and singing. None of these are things that you can't do outside of that cult. You can have a charismatic leader. You can find a pastor who's preaching the Bible, who is very charismatic, and you don't have to follow them like they're some kind of prophet. Instead, you can be a member of their flock and receive their teaching and use the Bible as check and balance on that, on whatever they're teaching. And you can still go out into nature and you can still spend time with your friends there, and you can still go hiking, and you can still do drum circles. I just don't see anything in these that makes me go, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go, you know, walk down a creek and, you know, see giant rocks in Hawaii. That sounds like fun, but I'm not going to do it at the expense of my faith.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of these things, some people say, well, what's the big harm? Nobody's going to be drinking any Kool-Aid. They're allowed to leave. They're allowed to be, they're not brainwashed. And the thing is like.
No, that's good. Mm-hmm. And that's good. We're glad about that.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean.
Yeah.
That we just be silent about it.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that this isn't demonic. That doesn't mean that it's not like, and I'm not being overly dramatic. Like, there's a reason. Like, if I was to see that guy and he was to say, the world's going to end, California's going into the sea, you want to go to, like, Hawaii and build some arcs with me? I'd say, no, I don't. But so I think when people do get deceived by those things, people especially who have hardened their heart to truth maybe over the years, and then this gives them a community, an experience with a God that they prefer, and they're drawn to something that looks more like them instead of Christ, who calls us to die to self that we may look more like him.
And I just want to say, I mean, you described it as demonic. This is not Hollywood demonic.
Yeah.
If that's what you're thinking, get it out of your head.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this is a podcast for the believer, so I can talk like that. This is when we say demonic, we mean really anything that follows a God or gods other than Christ, mm-hmm. other than Father, Son, Holy Spirit, anything other than that is demonic.
Yeah.
Now, that can be sunshine and rainbows dancing in a drum circle.
Yeah, don't picture just like Pinhead and Hellraiser.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Hollywood wants you to believe. They want you to believe that, oh, this isn't demonic. This is, we're wearing colorful clothes and we're peaceful and all those things you were just saying. We're not drinking Kool-Aid. We're just building a boat. Mm-hmm. No, it's demonic.
Yeah. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is of the enemy. Like Jesus makes very clear the exclusivity of the kingdom of God, that you are either for him or against him. And so everything that is not in submission to the lordship of Christ is ultimately opposed to him. And so, yeah. And also, if that's your picture of what anything demonic looks like, would encourage you to go back and listen to our episodes on deliverance ministry and pigs in the parlor, where we address kind of that Hollywood kind of view of what this looks like. But yeah, it is absolutely demonic to offer hope and promises that have been apparently revealed from God when they have not. There is, in fact, nothing more like Satan than that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what we want to say to our friend who's there, Wes, man, come home. Come home, man. If you need a plane ticket, we'll get it for you. We'll do it, man. Whatever we got to do to help you get out of this cult and with Christ, we want to do that. We are praying for you. We love you. We know you got family here that love you. And we want to come alongside you in that. Some maybe you're uncomfortable with the podcast getting real personal like it did just now, but that's the purpose of this, that we want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see people who are following Christ get stronger in their faith. We want to see people who are deceived by lies have those exposed and come to saving faith. And we want to see those who are bound in actual cults be free from that and win the chance to make those like direct, you know, just appeals. Man, we want to do that. And we're praying for your families as well. Prayerfully, some of you now are here listening to this podcast and you've heard about some things that have helped you maybe relate to or share the gospel with some of your own loved ones who are maybe dealing with some of these things. Just the other day, I mean, the cults are closer than what we would like to think. I got a letter from a family who lives not far from me, who's in Jehovah Witness, reaching out directly to my family, mailing a letter to my house. And it's so frustrating because I hear pastors of Christian churches say, we don't want to talk about theology. Well, the cults mailing your house do. The cults mailing your people's house do. And so if you don't want to talk about theology with your people, guess what? The cults, they will. And so everything is wanting to disciple you. It's just who are we being formed and shaped by? God, the gospel, the Holy Spirit, truth, or the world and multiple lies, even the ones that tell us you can have the happily ever after in the peaceful oceanside resort, but it cannot save your soul.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said there. I mean, especially for people who are coming out of these cults, that you can have things, you can enjoy things of the world, but you enjoy them to, as I've heard one pastor say, to the glory of God and the good of all people. So it's perfectly fine to enjoy things in life.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, I believe it was the brethren, mm-hmm. aka the garbage eaters. They don't enjoy anything. They try not to laugh. They try not to have fun.
Their kids get, like toddlers get disciplined for laughing and playing.
Yeah. And so in this cult, I feel like it's the exact opposite, where it's all about relaxation and fun. But we got to have a balance. We are not called to be lazy, and we are not called to be hippies.
Yeah.
And sure, one would argue, well, they're building a boat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you see the boat they're building? I mean, come on. You know, they do go to work. They do make money for the community, I guess, as they call it. But this is just indulging in worldly pleasures. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. This is a worship of false gods. And those can include all those worldly pleasures, such as enjoyment. You were listing off earlier, you know, sex, drug use, an individual, a person, all of that. That's all false. Those are all false gods.
Absolutely. And the world tells us all the time that to pursue those things for your soul to be built up and refreshed, for you to find your esteem, for you to find your identity, for you to find love, it's completely normal. And it's not like, yeah, we get to enjoy things in the world, but we get to enjoy them to the glory of God, like you said. So when I enjoy food, I'm not looking at food to fulfill me. Christ fulfills me, so I get to enjoy food in its proper place. When I play video games on my off day, I'm not looking for video games as an escape from reality. Jesus is my refuge I run to. So when I play video games, I get to just enjoy my downtime and be on the sticks for a few minutes, you know, or something like that. So so it's not that we don't get to enjoy what God created. We get to enjoy it in its proper place, and we don't put the weight of those things as something that holds our weight of like identity and joy and purpose, because Christ does those things. So
we pray that people involved in these would come to know Christ, that God would do a work on their hearts, that he would bring them back home, that he would heal the hurt and pain, if there is any, that sent them there, and that they would, their minds and eyes would be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. For those that continually talked about in that documentary that he was a father figure to them, that they had just got divorced, and so they ran from their problems to where all of these different issues, and now he gave them a purpose, he gave them this utopian home, all of these things. I'll say that, like, he cannot keep those promises, but Jesus can. Jesus can keep the promises of healing the broken heart, of forgiving the most wicked of sins, and sustaining forever. And he is the only one that can sustain those kind of hopes, and that's in the gospel. And we know that for certain because of his life, death, and resurrection, his reigning today, his imminent return, which will happen, but it will not be to build a village on Hawaii. It will be to rule and reign as king over the new heavens and new earth.
Praise God. Amen.
If you have experience with a cult, or you are in a cult, or any experience with today's subject, please contact us. You can find our contact information in the show notes.
You can hear more of Pastor Aaron's teachings on the Freedom House YouTube channel. All his sermons are posted there every Sunday. You can learn more about Freedom House Ministries at www.hamiltonfreedomhouse.com.